With a look at your latest local news, I'm Jevy Ebanks. We begin in the courts, where jurors on Wednesday heard detailed evidence about a long-running dispute between Cayman Marl Road owner Sandra Hill and businessman John Felder, a conflict that began years earlier after Ms. Hill published comments on the Cayman Marl Road platform alleging serious issues with Mr. Felder's local companies. The court was told the documents showed Mr. Felder had been removed as the managing director of Cayman Automotive by his own board and shareholders, and that he had been issued a cease and desist notice preventing him from continuing to operate. After the publication, Mr. Felder sued Ms. Hill for defamation and later secured a default judgment in the Grand Court Civil Division. Ms. Hill's first attempt to overturn that judgment failed, and the judge instructed both parties to attempt to resolve the matter privately. Shortly after, Ms. Hill emailed Mr. Felder, an email the Crown says is central to its criminal case. Crown Prosecutor Martin Mulgrew told the jury the email amounted to blackmail, alleging Ms. Hill threatened to publish further damaging information unless Mr. Felder dropped all legal actions and abandoned any claim for damages. Mr. Mulgrew said Ms. Hill faced potential liability of some $291,800, which would have been financially devastating, and that she resorted to extortion to protect herself. Ms. Hill denies all wrongdoing, arguing she acted in accordance with the Grand Court judge's directions. The jury heard that Mr. Felder did not respond to the email and instead reported it to the police 6 months later. Meanwhile, Ms. Hill continued her efforts to overturn the default judgment and succeeded in 2020 with the court ruling that Mr. Felder owed her $50,000 in court-ordered costs. Mr. Felder took the stand on Wednesday, insisting Ms. Hill had spread, quote, lies and innuendos. He attempted to revisit the facts of the civil case, blaming various individuals for the collapse of his companies and maintaining he had acted honestly. He told the courts he'd been living in Cayman for 14 years with no trouble and claimed no one had ever accused him of fraud. Despite the court hearing, he still faces several claims from individuals alleging he owes them substantial sums. Defense counsel George Carter Stevenson KC challenged Mr. Felder on inconsistencies in his evidence, including his denial that he had signed a consent order agreement to pay Ms. Hill $50,000. Mr. Felder claimed his lawyers signed it without his approval, a suggestion the defense argued was implausible. Mr. Felder's testimony raised further concerns about his credibility, with part of his evidence contradicting earlier statements. In one instance, he claimed he'd never seen certain documents until Ms. Hill published them, and in another, he accepts that they had been sent to his attorney acting on his behalf. Today, the jury heard from a police officer involved in the investigation before the court moved into legal arguments, discussions held in the absence of the jury and not reportable until permitted by the judge. The trial has been adjourned and will resume on Tuesday at midday, with counsel returning at 10 a.m. for legal rulings from Justice the Honorable Emma Peters. In other court news, Evelyn Michelle Johnson Ebanks has made an initial grand court appearance following charges of running her husband over with a car in February. She's been bailed to appear back in court on the 17th of April. The courts have ordered her to surrender all travel documents and is subject to a no-contact order. Anthony Berry has been released on bail following his initial appearance, where he's charged with causing death by dangerous driving from Easter Monday in 2025, in which Savannah resident and cyclist Per Udim lost his life. No pleas have yet been entered in the case, and the matter is expected to return to court at a later date. As a part of his bail conditions, Mr. Berry has surrendered his passport to the authorities and must reside at a specified address while the legal proceedings continue. You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. The Cayman Islands Department of Tourism wants to change the way we treat our beaches. Radio Cayman's April Cummings explains they've launched a new signage project at Smith Barcadere.
If you head to Smith Barcadere over the Easter weekend, you'll see the first phase of a new public beach signage project. It's a double-sided, high-visibility display that does more than just welcome you to the water. It sets the ground rules. The Department of Tourism's Product Development Unit is behind the move. They've listed clear expectations for beachgoers. That means no littering, no loud music, and no unauthorized vendors. Tourism Minister the Honorable Gary Ruddy says the project is a direct response to the growth of our local communities and the growth in visitor numbers. He says it is essential to promote responsible use so that cherished spots like Smith Barcadere stay clean and welcoming for everyone. Tourism Director Rosa Harris, meantime, calls the move a proactive way to manage our shores. And she says the signs are meant to celebrate the significance of the area while shaping the kind of positive behavior that elevates the beach experience. And it isn't just for Georgetown. This is the first of 14 signs planned for beaches across Grand Cayman and the Sister Islands. The rest will be installed as soon as final planning approvals are complete. April Cummings, Radio Cayman News.
Thank you, April. MRCU says nuisance mosquitoes are active across the islands, with those planning to camp or spend long periods outdoors most at risk. Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles reports.
The Mosquito Research and Control Unit is advising people to use repellents containing DEET, that's D-E-E-T, picaridin, or IR355. They say products with higher active ingredients provide longer-lasting protection. Communications Officer Kevin Wattler says people often want to understand how that works.
Now, the higher the active ingredient, the longer it will last. So if you choose one that has a lower percentage, that just means you have to reapply that mosquito repellent more frequently. Some people don't like to get higher percentages because it often leaves an oilier look on your skin.
The unit says much of the biting at this time of year comes from mosquitoes that breed in swamps and wetlands and can travel several miles. These mosquitoes are described as very aggressive and persistent. They do not transmit diseases to humans, but they can transmit heartworm to dogs and cats. With Easter falling in April, which is also Heartworm Awareness Month, the unit is reminding pet owners to keep animals on prevention medication. Ground Operations Manager Leonardo Rodriguez says reports from the public help them decide where to focus treatment.
We encourage the public to report mosquito biting because that way they give us an idea how to deploy our logistic and properly plan mosquito control operations around the island.
As the long weekend begins, MRCU's aircraft section will carry out evening control operations starting about 15 minutes after sunset, with ground teams sent to areas with higher activity. Residents can report mosquito hotspots by emailing mrcu@gov.ky. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Finally, more than 1 week after his resume and jobs workshop, Georgetown Central MP and Deputy Leader of the Opposition, the Honorable Kenneth Bryan, says his focus now is on checking back with people who came, not just helping them for the day.
The other part is to also know who is not employed and keep on monitoring them. So it doesn't stop only at today.
He says he wants to keep nudging those people towards better opportunities in the weeks ahead. Mr. Bryan says that was reflected in the mix of people who came to the workshop at the Georgetown Constitutional Hall.
I know that we have a very low percentage of unemployed persons. I think the underemployment is a lot larger. So I expected a lot of people who were also in jobs to say, how do I go up the ranks? So we had a variety of different people coming.
One of those people, young job seeker Kai Bodden-Miles, says that even when he did not have a job, he kept pushing himself to learn and to look for experience.
Mainly to branch myself into different categories and try and get some experience in different jobs.
He says the workshop changed how he thinks about that experience.
They've improved my resume a lot because there's a lot of stuff that I haven't put in there that I should have put in there. I've learned that anything can be used as a work experience, because even though I wasn't working for about a month, I still branched myself into different categories and try to learn different stuff.
That's your latest local news from the Radio Cayman Newsroom. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Have an enjoyable Easter weekend.